for us. Mm-hmm. I'd like to put my emphasis in my question on the element that you spoke of, despair and depression. Mm. As a pastor, I find myself dealing with this as the single most kind of giant issue.
Is it really?
With all the symptoms that come from it seem to be related to personal discouragement and depression. And what I'm really asking in light of this theme here is the whole issue of pharmaceuticals.
Oh.
And
that's the issue.
Just to kind of help focus my question, my view has always been extremely kind of reticent. But my wife's a special education teacher, and she's kind of worked me a little bit along this way. We both are pretty conservative about this, but mm-hmm. I'm no longer as hard-nosed as I used to be. Would you address that issue and how, I mean, as a pastor, I don't get into the realm of telling people what to take or not to take, but I sure like to encourage people to start taking steps forward and wean themselves off of drugs. Could you address this particular issue?
Yeah, that's a difficult point. Depression, huh? Is it a medical condition or is it a spiritual condition? And are they completely separate and isolated? Oh, Your Eminence, we might need some help here. You know, I don't know. You have to, I don't know how was the poor pastor supposed to know when to send someone to a psychiatrist or not? I suppose you have to work with them for a while, see if it's a spiritual thing, if it's a spiritual sickness that can be healed through confession and the means of the sacraments of the church. But as you know better than I do, there are points where some people need some medical professional help, huh? And who need to see a doctor. So maybe some of you know from your own personal experience, and we always learn from the mistakes we make. Anybody have anything to share of spiritual children who were first of all healed from depression or despair just from the spiritual means of the church, the spiritual medicines of the church, as you said yesterday, the church is a hospital. And then when do you know when you have to send someone to a medical professional? Anybody can offer anything? Father Patrick, I don't know. I mean, when does the point? I think there comes a point, after how many sessions do you have to have with somebody, and they're still coming back, and they're still down and dark and depressed and getting further. Whew, that's a sure sign that you're going to have, it's not working. Confession and communion and fasting and whatever, I don't know. It's not working. We need professional help.
But if they get out of balance, they can do very strange things to an individual.
I don't know about blood tests and lithium and stuff, but can you find depression through a blood test, though?
Well, what I'm saying is that you can find levels of trace elements within the body chemistry that are out of balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, come on, Father. I was going to say something, but I forgot what I was going to say after you.
I think that we have to be very careful not to practice medicine. There is organic issues with the brain that respond well to medication. I've dealt with a couple of cases of people who are severely depressed, and they ask, should I go off the medication? And I say, no, don't do that. But you know, people who are, I know some people who are being successfully treated and talking to them and also talking to some medical professionals, when it comes to mental health issues, doctors never say, here, just take this pill and go away.
Hmm.
They always advise that there be, you know, some type of counseling that goes along with these types of medications, if only just to monitor how they're working.
That's a good point.
And
very nice.
So when you're dealing with somebody who's severe, it's not simply, well, this isn't working, so now just jump from box A to
very
box
nice.
B, but to to have these in balance.
Yeah, you know what, we tend to make it, try to simplify everything. It's either black or white, and you'll see reactions to this even in Orthodoxy. Don't send a parishioner to a doctor, to a psychiatrist. They're evil, and oftentimes they will make things worse if it's a bad psychiatrist. There's bad psychiatry out there, I guess, people tell me. But it should be in Orthodox. We should find a specialist in our community or somewhere where we can send people. And again, just the medication alone doesn't mean forget the spiritual elements. You still want to see your spiritual child, I would imagine. Anybody, Father, you want to go next? If any other comments on that, if you want, anybody can share, feel free. Yeah, there's someone at the microphone. Okay, go ahead.
Dr. Harry, I have a question for you. I really enjoyed your book, The Joy of the Holy, I think it was
thank
called.
You.
It's a great blessing for
it's
me.
It's kind of you.
Would you agree that there's a tremendous opportunity for the church because we have the epidemic of depression? It's a great evangelistic opportunity for us. I was recently reading the life of St. Vladimir. Mm. I was absolutely shocked to see that really he was converted to the Christian faith by joy. By Olga's joy, his grandmother's joy, and by the depression that really gripped kind of the Viking Slav life. Hmm. Christianity appeared so joyful to him. Would you agree that this is also the positive side is that because it's so dark, our witness is going to be that much brighter and the presence of the kingdom of God as joy on the earth. Maybe this is why Christianity is running so fast in places like China and places like this that because of the joy.
Yeah, the joy is a primary spiritual virtue. Haralambos in Greek, Saint Haralambos, the lamp of joy. Saint Seraphim, he called every day was Pascha for him, right? He is all full of joy. But again, you always got to keep your feet on the ground. You don't want to get, it's not an emotional thing. Yeah. And there's what's the other word that we have? I think it's John Climacus. Harmolipi, you know that word? Joyful sorrow, there's always that element, the balance. You don't want to be too joyful, but you got to keep a balance. That's the way to defeat despair. But someone who's in the throes of depression and despair, they don't find any joy anywhere. I mean, what are we supposed to do? How can they experience that joy, you know? If their mind's not right, if they have this sickness, that's... Even Pascha won't bring them out, maybe, of some depression. Anybody else have any thoughts on this idea of joy, Your Eminence?
Thank you for your presentation. Beautiful. Actually, I understand despair from two reasons, from two sources. The first one, too much medication. You know, when I go to Trader Joe's, for example, or to any store, I see more people at the counter where they have medicine and vitamins than where they have food. So people are addicted and taking medication and pills, and they think that they will come younger or nicer or healthier or so forth. So they are obsessed with this. I think too much medication, as you said it, you know, like physical illness, for example. But on the other hand, is despair comes from lack of repentance. They don't know how to pray. Let me give you one good example. I heard this real story. In my recent visit back east, in North America, some parish back east, many people left because of the priest from that parish. So the priest gone from that parish. And I have no idea about who was the priest and who what was his name, but people were talking this, sharing this story. So after this priest left, because many people left also, so a new priest was assigned by our metropolitan somewhere. So this young priest, I met him. He doesn't have much knowledge, no experience, just like a fresh blood. He brought some joy, some joy into the parish, and he starts visiting all the people there, who especially he started, someone told him maybe this and this and this left the church because of this and this and this. So he started visiting the people who left. One lady in that parish, to express her joy, she said, "Father, forgive me for not being in the church for 10 years or for 5 years or whatever. So I give you a check with $10,000. And was true. She gave him a check with $10,000 just to express her joy because of the joy he brought her also. You see, so therefore, depression or despair doesn't come from this or from that, you know, most of the time. It comes from some reason people do not know how to talk to each other. People do not know how to communicate with each other. So that's why, you know, like, it could be spiritual and could be physical. Could be physical. So, too much medication, no good, and too much lack of repentance and prayer and joy in the church is no good at the same time. So I think we need to know how to balance. So Father Elder Paisios, you know, like one of the quotes you used today, that loizmi, you know, like depression comes also from the bad thoughts, from the evil thoughts, from the loizmi. So here we need, that's why we have a seminar like this. That's why we have a good professor like our speaker today. I'm sure that, as Father Josiah said, he read the professor's book already, and he is expressing, you know, like his joy and his the beautiful richness he got from reading his book. So this is a good thing. People most of the time do not have this opportunity like Father Josiah has, for example. So we need, after what we learn from here, from each other and from our professor, so we go there. And how many times I said to you, church and politics won't work. It will destroy the church. It will destroy the joy. It will destroy and let down many people, leave people with depression. And in my meeting last night, I said something like that. I said many people left the church completely because of a parish council, you know, ministry. They served on a parish council. They don't like the church anymore because we are doing the wrong business in the church. So I said, do your ministry, but don't do business in the church. So lack of understanding, lack of some priest doesn't know how to bring joy to his people. So that's why I see depression among church people. I'm saying not in the whole United States, but I'm saying in the church, the people I know. So could be physical and could be spiritual for sure.
Yeah, I mean, today in our society, the pharmaceutical industry, I mean, my folks are in their 80s and they have to have all their pills in the morning they take. I have an uncle, he's got to take, I think my cousin said like 40 medications a day. I mean, that's physical things, but we're just, how did we get this far? Yeah, just chill out.
When we go out for a walk, you know, my mind is completely clear.
Yeah, I don't know what the cause is of despair. I'm sure there's some of you more qualified than me, but... Yeah, yeah, that too. Our diet, guilt, as you said, from our past faults and sins, that might lead to it. But you know, on a practical point, and you, I'm sure there's something out there already, but in your community and in your area where you're at, there should be some Orthodox professionals. There should be someone who you know you can send a spiritual child, a parishioner, for help for psychological reasons, isn't it? Huh? Do you have one, a good Orthodox psychologist in the area, in L.A. or Idaho or Canada, wherever you're at? We're in, huh? We have to find, there's people, there's good Orthodox people out there. And I know in Minneapolis, our priests, there's some good people in the Twin Cities area from an Orthodox perspective where they can send people for help. But it can be very damaging to send someone, for someone to go off on their own and find a psychologist or a psychiatrist, because there has been bad results in those cases, as many of you probably know. So, Father?
Before I get to my question, with respect to that referral, mm-hmm. The one thing I do say, though, in encouraging when the time comes for someone to go, that with that professional, there at least be a timetable. There at least be goals that
Very
be established.
Nice.
Otherwise, it becomes a perpetual thing that there is no means of determining if there's progress. So I think that's very essential with any professional, that there be a means by which an evaluation can be made to see if
very
there is
practical
progress.
Advice, huh?
But
huh?
Really, my point of standing and asking goes to one of the things that you highlighted, which repeatedly occurs in our conversations whenever we gather as clergy, and that is the impact of various social networking. I'm not saying to begin a new seminar on this subject, but what we need is really some very practical guidelines and some very pragmatic rules that we can be equipped as clergy to know how to prevent not only ourselves, but our many young people and adults who are misguided, if not succumb to the lack of guidance in that whole sphere. just as a little example, you know, when I have a question that I would pose to asking one of my brothers by send, and I just deal with internet and word, I don't deal with numbers and social networks, I get invitations, I delete them immediately. But when I asked a question once, which was a very serious question to one of the brothers, I was impressed that he followed up by returning a phone call. And there are things like that that I think could be helpful to us in knowing, as an example, how to prevent ourselves from being so controlled by the technology.
You know, it's just a whole new world now with the technology. We've never been here before. We don't know how to deal with some of these new issues confronting us. What are the limits? What are the possibilities of all this? And you're in the front lines there. I mean, the people that are suffering from all this. I mean, what are you going to put a time limit? You're going to have so many minutes a day, hours a day on the internet? What? Anybody else have any advice to offer? Father here, who's looking for some practical guidelines. Not that I'm aware of. Does anybody know of anything? Father?
Oh. Father George from Marinda. I'm told that the OCA bishops adopted a policy on social networking and so forth, and I saw something on the internet roundly criticizing it, but I never looked it up to see what it was. They just suggested that it was too legalistic and too narrow of a response. But I think we have to assume that people are going to sort of grope for a while before they really come to a good sense. And we ought to be willing to take the risk of trying and failing and making things better with the second or third generation attempt.
Yeah, yeah. The OCA did publish some guidelines for their clergy for social networking. I remember some of the students were not happy with it. But we could maybe Google up the OCA website and see. It's probably on there. Maybe we could do that and we can discuss that again. OCA.org, I guess. They have to have that. Guidelines for, I forget what it's called, social networking for their clergy. Any points in particular? Are you talking about time element or what else? Time that you spent on there or? In that sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, I see. Yeah, how it can impede on actual fellowship, huh? Father, you want to mention something about this?
Yeah, I'm Father George Tawil at St. Nicholas Cathedral. For 40 years, I've been in the entertainment business.
Oh.
Technology is always going to advance. There,
by nature.
It just is. Every technology has both a good side and a bad side, like a knife. A knife could be used to butter bread, it could also be used to cut. What we need to do is we need to train ourselves up in the new technologies and realize that which is good in it and that which is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time and it takes experienced people that know the technology and then also know how people interact, how we communicate as human beings. And at some point, if someone would like to, I could give a symposium on that subject.
Very nice. That would be interesting. Yeah, this is a field that's going to have to be addressed very soon. Technology, by nature, it always advances exponentially, huh? The advances that we've had in the last 100 years are going to be, what's the next 10 years hold for us?
Smaller phones.
Smaller phones. Who knows what? Does anybody know what's out there? Oh, that's another question. What are they saying? You know, I don't know. But you want to say something, Father?
Actually, I'd like to approach a different subject, if I may.
Sure, if it's okay with everybody else, I'm fine to move on. Oh, is it?